Thank you. Gel.
Artık otobüsü gel. Lan çağırıyor şu anda. Ben çok hoşuma gitti. Ben de kabul ettim. Ben de I realize I don't pay my obeisances nearly as many times as when I do when I come to the temple. I hope everyone's sadhana is holding up nicely and increasing during this time. I hope to mention a few things that might help. So I don't really have a verse today. I have a few reflections on some of the things that had been going on, and also some important messages that we should also reflect on. I've been thinking strongly about Prabhupada's mission and his plan for actually saving this entire world. He actually had this plan for a long time, and he did a great job of executing it. He gave his life and soul to spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. And of course, this movement is founded on chanting of this Hare Krishna mantra. Such an important thing. Out of Thompson Square Park, some little ripples came out with the mantra, and then soon it increased into big waves that splashed against all different countries. The waves went across the ocean to England, Australia, everywhere. And then a big surge of spiritual awareness and interest became worldwide, actually. People started to become interested in what is this spiritual life, what is the soul, what is karma, what is bhakti. And even kirtan has become much appreciated by so many different sects and by different people all over the world. So now Lord Chaitanya is waiting to see what's our next move. What will be the actual tsunami that will fulfill Prabhupada's mission of saving the entire world. And so during this crisis, it's a little frightening because you actually see Kali Yuga rolling in, not creeping in, but rolling in very quickly. And now it's time to kind of reflect back on some of the predictions that actually Prabhupada made about this. And the Shastra actually makes these predictions. And also the solutions, what we can do about this and become Krishna conscious and make the world Krishna conscious. Lots of advice. Here's a very nice quote. Jagadananda in the Prema Vibharta. I see that Kali Yuga is like a black poisonous snake with a gaping mouth and fangs. But please be unperturbed, dear devotees, and listen with faith. Once the holy name of the Lord is being chanted, it is like igniting a forest fire which will burn to ashes the poisonous snakes within the forest. In this dark age of Kali Yuga, sincere devotees of the Supreme Lord should leave aside all other means for liberation, take full shelter of the holy name. This is their real responsibility and duty. There is unlimited bliss in chanting the different names of Krishna, Hari, Keshava, Govinda, Vasudeva, Jagannamaya. The one who chants constantly with unflinching faith, he remains unaffected by the reverses of Kali Yuga, because his heart has become purified by chanting. And so this is the real medicine that Prabhupada gave us from day one. This Saturday we heard a very dynamic presentation by devotee Amarinda Prabhu about how Prabhupada has actually prepared us for things like this. And because he has given us this chanting, it helps to release the stress, it helps to purify everybody else, it's our means of preaching and our means of purity. And so Prabhupada, you know, he ignited this Harinam movement, Sankirtan, congregational chanting on all the streets. But no less, he gave great importance to japa. And so many of us now are taking shelter of japa, not being able to congregationally chant. Because this individual purity is essential for our preaching, for the potency of going out and presenting in an effective way the preaching of this movement. We have to be prepared to be able to prepare others. And so there's another verse that describes this. One who chants Krishna's name and constantly remembers him, even though living in this material ocean of nescience, is like the lotus, which is born in the water but is untouched by it. This position is transcendental. This great soul is capable of liberating all the suffering residents of the hellish planets. The holy name is the prime and most secure shelter for the living entities. The holy name can eradicate endless offenses and liberate a person. So yes, we have to become transcendental touchstones. We have to be so pure that we can help others become transcendental to the effects of this Kali Yuga. So now some of us have been chanting for decades, and we're wondering, okay, well, I haven't heard Krishna's flute yet. I haven't seen Krishna face to face. You know, we're anxiously waiting, but we're patiently waiting because we have faith in the holy name. We have faith that at some point we will come to this Shuddhanam, this stage of pure chanting. And Krishna gives us a little taste. He gives us nectar in our attempts at chanting, which keep us strong and knowing that Krishna does love us and he wants us to come back with him. So hopefully during this quarantine that we've given more attention to the quality of our chanting and marking the importance of it in our lives and how it can change our consciousness. So in a very nice book, Harinam Chintamani, Lord Chaitanya approaches Haridas Thakur and he says, Haridas Thakur, you've achieved this purity of chanting. Can you tell me all about it? And of course, Haridas Thakur shrinks in humility and says, what can I tell you? If I say anything, it's going to be only because you are saying it through me. And so Lord Chaitanya asks a lot about the quality of chanting and a lot about the different levels. He actually explains the different levels of chanting, going from the offensive stage, nambas, a mix of, you know, chanting and with pure and impurity with offenses, and then the Shuddhanam stage of being actually free from all offenses and contamination. Most of us are in this stage where our material desires are still there, but we have that spiritual desire. Yeah, I really do. I really want to make advancement. I really want to please Krishna with this chanting. And so sometimes there's a struggle, and it's hard to get over these obstacles. And these obstacles are actually described very nicely as when you're drinking sweet rice, and the sweet rice has sand in it. It's not very palatable. The chanting can be very sweet, but we have those big pieces of sand, we have those fine, those gross and those subtle desires still within us. That is so sweet we keep chanting. The mind is churning out all these desires. It keeps churning them out. And it pollutes sometimes our intentions in our chanting. and becomes a little foggy. That's why it's just described that it's a very, it's not a clear vision. It's still contaminated. Just like I was thinking, you know, when how anxious we are for someone to finally get on the microphone and say, "You can all come to the temple. Let's have a big kirtan." You know, the siren goes off, everything's clear, contamination's going away. We're all anxious, you know, is it going to be tomorrow, next week, or is it going to be next week, or when is it going to be? So in the same way, we should be that anxious. When is this contamination going to go away? When am I going to be clear and free from all this dust? When am I going to really absorb myself in the holy name? Let it be all clear so I can actually see who I am. So we should yearn. When will that day be mine? The fences ceases and taste for the name increasing. So we should pray like that. We can definitely take our time and do our bhajans at home and sing these beautiful songs that are expressing our anxiousness to become closer and closer to Krishna. So Haridas Thakur, he explains that this mind is the rascal that is giving us many orders all the time, ordering us here, go here, do this, think about this, think that, and it interrupts our japa many times, and it's a false shelter. We can't go there. We can't listen to those orders. Vrajan Prabhu, in his japa book, he says just treat it like a naughty little boy. Just lock it in the closet during that time. Just say, "You stay there," and then give yourself full attention to the holy name. I know that sometimes I consider that in the morning I invite Krishna to come and be with me. You know, I picture him sitting right in front of me when I'm chanting, or walking by me when I'm chanting, or sitting next to me, and so that I really understand that He's listening to me, that I have to really be on my toes, and I want to hide that mind because I don't want him to see what's in there. So this sometimes helps in my chanting. But the mind is very obstinate. But by practice and by chanting with other devotees that are very effective in their chanting, that have that that fixation is very conducive for the chanting. And sometimes these thoughts come in our mind because of past association, something we heard or came in contact with. Just like Mukhi was saying, it's so easy to catch this thing. But so there's precautions, and we call it social distancing. Well, I say you need more than 6 feet to be a distance from mind. You've got to keep far away from mind, because it's not just by breathing, it's by seeing, by hearing. All this comes within ourselves and contaminates our consciousness, and then it comes out. So Haridas Thakur gives a very nice description of all the 10 offenses that are there. And in particular, a couple of them are very applicable to myself, maybe to some of you. The offending of the devotees and the Vaishnavas and the Guru, of course, is the big one. It's very detrimental to our chanting. It breaks down that devotional creeper. And it reminds me of this we have lockdown out front, this sign. So what it does, the fence of devotees, it locks down our heart. It shuts the heart off so that even the chanting is not effective if you're offensive to devotees. You can chant and chant. But if you're thinking bad of devotees all the time, you're just shut out from really making advancement. Better to recognize the devotees' good qualities. So many good qualities. And we can go on and on describing all the wonderful qualities of the devotees in this community. And then you'll have experience of very peaceful chanting, of actually receiving the benefit from this chanting. And then another offense is inattentiveness. This is very applicable. And he describes three different types of inattentiveness in chanting. And one is indifference. And this is this means that the chanting is not top priority on your list of things to do in the day. You know, you'll get it done sometime during the day when you find time. You'll chant a few here, chant a few there, chant a few there. And but top priority should be there. And then you don't really do it from your heart. You're chanting, but it's not coming deep from within. And there's no, what you call, chutzpah. I think that's a Jewish word or something. But anyway, it kind of sounds like that, you know, that enthusiasm. And then there's a second type of inattentiveness, and that's laziness. A very sluggish mind, just can't seem to ever quite wake up and be clear-headed to really get into the chanting. Or you're a little tired, or you're sloppy in your pronunciation of the holy name, and so it ends up to be something else than the holy name. Or your enthusiasm just isn't there. It's not, you're not giving your best. So this is laziness, and you don't give your best. And this is not going to really attract Krishna. It is not going to, you know, call him to come and, wow, who's that? Where's that chanting? So you can expect, expect what you inspect. So you have to inspect your chanting and realize if you're being lazy or in an indifference in your chanting. And you can expect the result to be there, in the same. And the third one is distracted. You know, you're chanting and your mind becomes the order deliverer, and you're following it going this way to work over here, and you have this business to do over here, and oh, and tomorrow I'm going to do this, I have this appointment, and you're looking at all your screens and you're trying to chant, and sometimes you can't even finish the round. You put it down before you finish the round, you know. And so this is a sign that, whoa, I'm really distracted. I can't even, you know, finish four beats. I got to get up and do what my mind is telling me to do. So this, we're all guilty of. I'm very guilty of it. But it's something to be aware of and to correct. The time of day, those 2 and 3 hours that we chant the holy names, why not do it the best we can? We're going to sit there and do it anyway. Why not give it your best? And put down all your other lists and just go from the heart, deep within, and chant the holy names. If you have a hard time with this, get good association with people who have great habits in chanting. Sit with them, find a sacred time, find a sacred place, and do your chanting. And above all, of course, the things that really help you are the strength in following your guru's instructions, which are to have very good sadhana all around. And this will help you in your pure chanting. It'll lead you to that stage where you will chant purely. You'll get the mercy. Here's a very nice quote about this. Those people that are enthusiastic about chanting. Extremely self-surrendered devotees prefer to most exclusively embrace Sri Nam to every other feature of devotion. They have intense appetite for singing and meditating upon the holy name than anything else. So this is our goal, be extremely self-surrendered, to be intensely thirsty and anxious to taste the holy name. So this is something we should strive for and make it our goal of our life. It's the most important thing. So you see, we have a lot of ground to cover in going from the offensive stage to this pure stage. It's a lot of work for the devotee. And of course, humility has to be there. It's a very important ingredient. And I was thinking, when I hear of devotees getting this virus and some of them actually leaving their bodies and so many thousands of people, this and that, you know, suffering and dying. And I'm thinking, wow, how infallible we are. That we are so small and insignificant, and our only shelter really is Krishna and devotional service. And the real shelter is this chanting of the holy names. So this humility will help in that proper chanting mood. So we can remember these things. Because the chanting really holds our movement together, as we can see that the attraction, this attachment for kirtan and association of devotees chanting together is increasing, like Mukhya said. And the separation is definitely increasing. Shri Prabhupada, he's very pleased with how we have done this part of the movement. Made temples, gotten people chanting, and this is 50% of his plan to save the world. I was in the office about 2 weeks ago, and I was there just when Ashishaki put down the phone and said, "No more flowers. Finished. They're not going to deliver anymore." And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? No more flowers. And they say too expensive in the store. No more flowers. And immediately I'm thinking around the property what flowers they have. I'm thinking, we got to plant some more flowers real fast. But I'm thinking, this is happening in America? This only happens abroad, this type of thing where there's scarcity and things like that. We don't suffer here in America. We're prophylactic. We're different. But guess what? America is not the land of the plenty. Right now, 6 million people are unemployed, if not more than that. And you can read that there's a possible scarcity of food. And of course, businesses are shut down. And we keep thinking this is a dream. Maybe we'll wake up and it's not really happening. So I want to go back to 1974 and read something that Shri Prabhupada said that might ring a bell. "And what is this civilization killing father and mother?" Talking about cows, killing the cows. "This is not good civilization. It will not stay. There will be catastrophe waiting. Many times it has happened, and it will happen because transgressing the law of nature, a law of God, is most sinful. That is sinful. That means to own a certain piece of land is a basic civilization. Everyone must have a portion of land to produce his food. There will be no economic problem." This is Geneva, 1974. So, how many years ago was that? A lot. 48 years ago or something like that. So he is warning us, he's predicting it, and he's telling us the solution. Ayurvedic medicine is very in a very preventative mood, and the Ayurvedic civilization is also very preventative. If you have your program together, like he's saying, if you have your land, you're set, you're good. You're good. Okay, and then we were talking about, you know, the 6 million unemployed. And so here's a quote. Papa's discussing farms, and the devotee says, you know, who's going to come to our farms? Everyone has jobs. That job. There will be very soon joblessness. Don't worry. And he laughs. They will come. Now they have got jobs. But as the days are advancing in Kali Yuga, they'll be jobless. So, is Srila Prabhupada wrong? Has he ever been wrong? Has the Shastra ever been wrong? No. So these predictions, and so there's so many others in conversations. One also says that there'll be an economic collapse, and the banks will be worthless. He says maybe in this lifetime, maybe not. So I'm thinking, maybe this lifetime. at least for some of us. So his advice, there's a couple more quotes here. Now our next program will be to organize farming land to set as an example to the whole world how to be peaceful, happy, and free from all anxiety simply by chanting Hare Krishna, living an honorable life in Krishna consciousness. So this is 1977. Again in 1977. We are about to embark on a new phase of our movement, Varnashram. Of course, if I die, so organize this farm project, simple living. There's nothing to be, human life is meant for God realization. Try to help them. And he's talking about preaching. Prabhupada's whole plan to save the world is preaching. So this is 50% that he did with the chanting in the temples, and this is another 50%. If people are not fed and they're not comfortable and a good situation, they're not going to hear the philosophy and they're not going to chant Hare Krishna. So this is also preaching. So Prabhupada saw this as another part of where we need to go in our movement. And so we should really take this seriously. Here's another little quote. As soon as one has a land sufficient to produce, he is safe. So Prabhupada said two things about being safe. He said, in kirtan we're safe, and in when we have land to produce food, we're safe. So these things are very poignant, I think. Prabhupada didn't just all of a sudden come up with this. In 1950, he wrote the Giranagari Prophecy. And this is explaining, of course, the perfect Krishna-conscious society that will make a beautiful facility for people to become Krishna-conscious. How to take people from all different walks of life, bring them and raise them up and up to become Krishna-conscious. Of course, the center of the community would be chanting. Everyone required to come to chant and be together. And read Bhagavad Gita, philosophy and chanting, so important. But he actually wanted local communities, small local communities, and they're all based on agriculture, to be able to make sure that everyone is nourished properly and happy in that regards. So all the way back in 1950, that's where I was born, he was already thinking of preaching worldwide and how to do it. And so he had his plan. And here's a couple of the little anecdotes from his plan. Make a small unit of community and show ideal life. Not idle life, ideal life. Show you are actually doing something. Here's another one. There's a little bit of confusion when Prabhupada's talking about these farm communities, because this is the height of in the 70s, the height of the book distribution in temples. And so he said, they were talking about, what about city? We got so many temples in the city and everything. You're talking about farms. And Prabhupada says, there will be no city. We don't want cities. The devotee says, what about city temples? Prabhupada says, no. For the time it may go on. But as we make progress, there will be no necessity. But suppose the city is closed. We shall be there? You still will be there? The Bodhi. Well, the predictions are that cities will go on for some time. Prabhupada. Yes, it will go on. But then they will see that you have an ideal community, and it is better than city life. People will take to it. So, if it does happen, if there is a collapse, or if there isn't a collapse, if the cities go on or if they don't go on, technology goes on and makes a mess of everything, 5G killing everybody, or whatever, we still have our ideal communities, but we don't have them. And so that's a problem. At least I see it as a big problem. because self-sufficiency and self-realization go very nicely together. And so Prabhupada had a little quote that he used to say, chant, 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 can't, can't, can't. I say, chant, 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 plant, plant, plant. So we should consider, we have 127 acres here. Most of it is not planted. And we all have our 5 acres and our 10 acres, or our backyards. Some people have called me and said, you still have that program for making gardens? What seeds do you recommend? So I think it's in the consciousness, it will become more and more in the consciousness, but it has to graphically roll out and manifest. And it's late, 40, 50 years late, but it's not too late. This is a tiny crisis that's going on now. It's only going to get worse. If you read in the papers now, there's a lot of regrets. A couple of the titles. One was Unheeded Warning. Now we're in the mess because of unheeding the warnings that were before. Someone said this and someone said that, but we didn't listen. Another one was Dismissed Concerns. You know, people have so many concerns. Don't worry about it. It's okay now. Don't worry about it. That can't be our attitude, because this is 50% of Prabhupada's work that he left us to do. He left on the table, and he said, you take it up. I can't tell you everything. I don't have time. I've told you some things. I'd like to go to Vrindavan and show you how, but he didn't make it. So we can't minimize it, and we can't neglect it. 50 plus 50 is 100. So if we can manage to get close to 100 and please Prabhupada, that would be doing pretty good. So chant, 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 plant, plant, plant. Here's a nice description. I found it. Actually, we're planting castor beans right now, because Prabhupada said castor bean oil is a good thing for lights and lamps. We're thinking, oh, lights, lamps, we got electricity. Anyway, we're considering it, because Prabhupada said so. Prabhupada, this project should be advanced, plain living, high thinking, devoted. I think we'll take around the film of New Vrindavan to all the colleges this year when we are preaching, and show it to the students as our practical example. Prabhupada, this is nasty civilization, unnecessarily increasing necessities of life, anartha. Devotee, we would not have understood you if you had said that 8-10 years ago. Prabhupada, Kirtanan, 10 years ago, I know, I could not have understood you if you had said that. Now I understand a little bit. Prabhupada, now suppose these electric lights, so, crude form of light, we grow some castor seed, everything from the earth. This also you are getting from earth, petroleum, and running on machine, and electricity is generated. But really, you are getting the impetus from the earth. As soon as the petroleum supply is stopped, everything stopped. But for this purpose, you have to search out petroleum from the middle of ocean, boring. There it is, ugra karma. The purpose is that you grow some castor seed, press it, get oil, put it in any pot, and one wick, the light is there. So even understanding that you have improved the lighting system, but that is not the only necessity of my life. But to improve from castor seed lamp, castor oil lamp, to this electricity, you have to work so hard. You have to go to the middle of the ocean and drill it and get out petroleum. And in this way, your real business of life is finished. The real business of life is finished. The energy and the intelligence you got for your self-realization, or your this precarious position, constantly dying and taking birth in various species of life, this is your problem, and this was to be solved in human life. You have got advanced intelligence, but that intelligence is utilized from castor seed lamp to the electric lamp. That's all. Just try to understand what is that improvement. And for this improving from castor seed oil lamp to electricity lamp, you forget your real business. You lost yourself. This civilization is going on. This is called Maya. For some fictitious happiness, you lose your whole purpose of life. So, Prabhupada's had a lot of realization. He's trying to inject it in us. This whole book is just full of quotes about the responsibility of the S in ISKCON, International Society. How to create our own society away from this Kali Yuga society. And it is a missing S. And of course, someone else will do it. Someone else will do it, don't worry about it. And, but who's gonna do it? Very nice and very enthused. We have a new worker on the farm, young boy, 25, I think he is. His name is Vishwambar, has come and helping with cows and with the eco farm. And this is like, you know, a life in the forest, as far as I'm concerned. To find someone that is a little interested in small farming and doing these type things. Actually, University of Florida, if they find some young person interested in farming, they will give you everything. They will give you a greenhouse. They'll come, they'll set everything up for you because they're so enthusiastic. So it's not just ourselves, but in general, many people are seeing the need for small farms, small communities, and it's to help us to make our chanting easier and make our lives less complicated. This simple living, high thinking, we have a lot to do to really understand the extent of what that means. Many of us think, I'm not going to work out in that hot sun. No way. How can I think in that way? I can't do that. But some people will, and some people, you can support those people that are willing to do that. This doesn't happen very easily. And I'm not saying that we have to go back to caveman days. We can use solar. We can use some of this technology that we can rely on when everything else goes out to some extent. Prabhupada said you can use tractors too, but don't get attached. But make sure there's no unemployment, that the tractor's doing everything that people could do. And because he predicted that people will come to our farms. I've already had a lot of people want to come and volunteer. Some people have, because they need to get outside, they need to do something. And they see that this is the direction that we should go in. And they also see that there might be a scarcity someday. Maybe we should do something about it. So, chant, 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 plant, plant, plant. And we can be very happy in Krishna consciousness. And I think Prabhupada will, we'd be most pleased if we can score close to 100% in the, hopefully the near future. So if anyone has any questions, or I don't know if anyone's even listening, but anyway.
We have these classes online on YouTube, ISKCON Alachua Hare Krishna Temple. If you have question, comment, you can type it on the chat room, chat box, or you can text to me 352-221-0041. We'll keep maybe a couple minutes.
I think the Girl Scout motto is to be prepared or something. I think when I was a Girl Scout, it was be prepared. So we should kind of look at ourselves individually and see how prepared we are. Just like Amarinda said, we have to be prepared with this chanting and also prepared in our consciousness of helping Prabhupada preach. And I see that it's very difficult to preach if you're not practicing. So therefore, especially in regards to high, simple living, I think we need to practice it more so that we can be comfortable in our preaching and more effective in our preaching. Okay, thank you, Richette and Plant. have you looked into planting grains, rice and wheat? I can say that we've had some very nice rice, dry rice from Belize that Jamajaya has planted and had great success in growing it, but there is no one to process it. There are no small little places that will take it and beat it and shuck it and husk it and prepare it. So that is a problem with grains. Prabhupada definitely wanted grains. I have tried wheat and rye, pretty tricky, especially because of the rain here. It requires to be harvested at a certain time before it gets wet. And I grew some, and then right before it was to harvest it, it got beat down by the rain, and all the seeds went into the ground. Now I still have remnants of it coming up in our gardens. So grains are a problem. Of course, corn. Jamajaya this year has grown tons of corn. He says it's the kind of corn you can make good cornbread out of. His mom used to make it all the time. So we'll see how, he said he grew a ton of it. So we'll see what happens with that. Yeah, grains and the rice. If we had a place that would process it, we could grow our own rice, even not in the wet, but dry rice. So if you know of any little contraptions that could do that, it might be a good investment in the long run to get set up so we could make our own rice. And as far as Prabhupada says, you know, there's shelter, clothing, and food. Those are our three necessities. And so the grains is a little bit of a problem, and the clothing is a problem. We have had to find out that you can't grow cotton legally here unless you're bona fide, whatever that means. So other products like your flax does not grow in the heat. The stuff, jute will grow here with a lot of water. I think clay has grown some, but I haven't seen the results of it. Hemp we're considering, but that also requires a lot of equipment to process it. So my idea is to have banana silk. And my daughter visited Okinawa that has a whole ancient process of making banana silk out of banana trees, making all the kimonos out of that they preserve. And they make three banana silk saris out of one banana tree in South India. So I've looked into that, because we can grow a lot of banana trees here. We don't get the bananas, but we have a lot of trees. So that might be an alternative if anyone wants to help me get information on how to process it. I've extracted it, but I haven't gotten it fine enough to spin. So anyway, these are some things, a lot to work with.
Another question. I cannot stop watching the news. It's like I feel fear without the news, but then end of the day I come to the same conclusion that I'm frustrated, worry, anxiety. You have any easy way I can just get out? I'm not so attracted to chanting either.
Okay, I got a suggestion. Every time you look at the news, you spend that much time reading Prabhupada's books. So maybe that'll cure it. Now, just pick up, you know, okay, I spent 10 minutes looking at the news, now I'm gonna open up a Bhagavad Gita and read 10 minutes. And I think you'll begin to see a change. You'll begin to experience a taste, a different change of taste in your appetite. Yes, it's we have to use our intelligence. And so we get our intelligence from Prabhupada. So if you read Prabhupada's books, ultimately you're gonna be convinced that you're wasting time listening to all that news. So give it at least equal time for a while and then see what happens. I think it'll work. Okay. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Mata Rakuti ki jai.
Prabhupada ki jai.